Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. For those of you who don't know, I am a nurse on an ICU step-down unit. But unlike most hospitals, even units within our own hospital, we all have patients on bedside cardiac monitors and perform vital signs every 2 hours, sometimes every hour. So in most hospitals, that's considered an ICU. At work, I often lose myself in the sciences of patient care. And only when someone is with us near the end of their life are we afforded the time to reflect and pray with them. We have patients from all over the world who come to us for groundbreaking, life-saving surgeries performed by some of the best physicians in the world. Needless to say, most of my time at work is spent with the scientific-minded. And while many of the nurses and doctors that I work with have a very strong faith, due to our work schedules, we aren't often able to attend church. There are occasions, however, where we find ourselves praying throughout the day for one patient or another. A few months ago, I had such an experience. It was around Christmas time. We had a patient with us on and off for 2 years. He had had an organ transplant the year before and had known since that surgery that in order to survive, he would need another one. He was a deeply faithful man, and over the last few years, our staff had come to know him and his family very well. The nurses on our floor thought of him as ours, and he even told the doctors he refused to be anywhere else, because the nurses, his eight North girls, he called us, took the best care of him. As I said, he was with us on and off for over 2 years, before and after his first transplant, and since he had been getting progressively sicker while he was awaiting a new one. Each day his condition worsened, and at times his mood did too. But each time I would sit and talk with him, he had such a strong faith, and he knew he would get a new transplant by the new year. We, the medical team, weren't so optimistic. His body was failing fast, and his chances of getting a new organ were not looking good. At the end of his last visit with us, I was discharging him home. He was tired and worn out from another week spent in the hospital, but happy to be able to go home and spend the holiday with his family, who had traveled from all over the country to be with him. After I signed off his discharge instructions, he asked that I bring in some of the other nurses so he could thank us for his care. He asked us all to do one thing for him while he was home. Pray. He lined us up and gave us all hugs on the way out the door, and he asked me, his primary nurse, to save his Christmas tree for him in his room. His family brought decorations for his room in anticipation of a long stay, and he said he knew he'd be back for Christmas. After he left, we all cried, many of us certain it would be the last time we saw him. He had become a part of our family at the hospital, and we were sad to think that there was nothing more we could do for him. We were all left with only one solution. At his request, we all went home and prayed. For me, it was upsetting to think that in order for our patient, our friend, to survive, someone else had to lose a loved one, and then make the choice to donate a life to someone else. It's hard to explain to a grieving family how much their loved one's life can mean to so many strangers, even after they're gone. So I prayed for that family to have the strength to make a difficult decision in order to offer life to someone else. The following day, he called our floor to say he was returning by doctor's orders. Normally, he would call to let us know he had come in because he was a transplant patient, he needed a private room, and that would take a while to arrange. But usually it would mean something bad. This time, in fact, he was back awaiting his new organ transplant, which was planned to be the following day. Less than 24 hours after he left, he came back to have his long-awaited surgery. One by one, that Thursday, the nurses who saw him off Tuesday night found each other on the floor and just hugged. We were all amazed we'd all been amazed for the last 26 hours over that time, what had happened. His surgery took over 14 hours. Some of the surgeons were even with the donor at the time of procurement, meaning they were operating for over 24. They were sleeping in chairs in the OR lounge to ensure they'd be with him when the surgery was complete, and they instructed the residents to come to our floor to update on his progress. We, the nurses on 8 North, continued praying for the patient and his family to have the strength to make it over the next few hurdles, praying for the family of the donor for their courage to make that difficult decision at a difficult time in order to save countless other lives. praying for guidance and knowledge to care for the patient who had been given the sacred gift of another chance at life. Unfortunately, we never had the opportunity to see him again. While his surgery was a great success, the months waiting for a new organ had taken such a toll on the rest of his body that he got a severe infection and he never woke up. He passed away on Christmas Eve with his nurses, our nurses, and his family beside him. And still we prayed. We prayed for his family, his wife, and his four children who we'd come to know, his aging mother who drove from Indiana overnight to be at his bedside. We prayed for the doctors who had spent years fighting for one patient to survive. And we prayed for ourselves to have the strength to go on working and care for other patients while we were all feeling such a great loss. It's not often that we have the opportunity to build a relationship with a patient and their family, so much so that we speak out loud about praying for their recovery. But I think in this case, we all feel as though we had a little bit to do with it. And from one amazing patient, we all learned a little bit more about the power of prayer. Thank you.